I'd like to thank you folks for being here today in such a late afternoon. I know everybody's getting ready to head back tomorrow, but I want to thank you all for being here so late. I'd like to thank my authors, Dr. Godsey, Drs. Hunke, Bellamer, and Kakani. Without their help, this project would not have been possible. Primarily, sweet sorghum has been around for quite a while now in the United States, but right now we're looking at it primarily as a biofuel feedstock. Primarily in the Southern Great Plains, strictly we're looking at Oklahoma right now. It has been cultivated in the U.S. since the 1850s. The primary use for that cultivation was for sweeteners such as molasses and syrup, which you can actually still buy today. Why we're recommending this in the Southern Great Plains is because it is highly adaptable to climates. It grows well in arid conditions. It tolerates saline alkaline soils. And even with these conditions, it can still produce a sustainable crop. It has potential for less water and nutrient use compared to corn. And it has a very large potential to be an ethanol producer ranging between 4,700 and 7,500 liters per hectare. I had two objectives, two studies with this project. The first one is to determine the optimum row spacing for sweet sorghum production in western Oklahoma and eastern Oklahoma. And the second objective is to determine the optimal planting density to maximize biomass and juice extracted. So there are two studies within this one project I will be talking about. My materials and methods, I had three locations per site year. In 2009, it was Lahoma, Stillwater, and Haskell. And in 2010, it was Stillwater, Lahoma, and Chickasha. We use a randomized complete block design to account for the variation within the field. And the first study I'll talk about is row spacing. We had two varieties, Topper and M81. Those are most suited to our area, so we went with those. We had three row spacings, 20, 38, and 76 to look at drilled versus planting, as well as a constant seeding density of 123,500 seeds per hectare. With the plant density study, we were looking at one variety, M81, two row spacings of 20 and 76 centimeter, and we had a range of 74,000 to 247,000 seeds per hectare, and we went in increments of 24,700 seeds per hectare, and that was our increment from stepping up to see which population gave us the best results. We use the best management practices available to us to control weeds, diseases, etc. At harvest time, we harvested our treatment in a bag. We harvested in a 2.3 square meter area. We hand cut them at the base of the stalk. We weighed the entire sample to record the biomass. The whole stalk was pressed, and this is our juice extractor right here. It's a three roller press system in which the stalk was inserted here. It was pressed, the juice is collected here, and then it was measured in a graduated cylinder. The bag S has numerous uses, such as it can be turned into the soil for organic matter, collected and dried for feedstock or livestock feed, or it could be used for cellulosic ethanol, or even if a distillation process comes available, it can be dried and burnt to fuel the distillation. Like I said, the juice is extracted and collected, and we were looking to see how much juice was collected per biomass. And we took a Brix measurement within the field. We used a light refractor. A juice sample was placed on the lens and looked through a light. This was repeated twice to get a consistent sugar reading within the field to see how much sugar was in the juice that was extracted per treatment. This is 2009 results, really quick. We saw by decreasing your row spacing from 76 to 20 centimeters, we could increase our total wet biomass and the juice extracted. By increasing your plant population at the 20 centimeter row spacing, we also saw an increase in total wet biomass. And in 2009, a range of 155,000 to 190,000 plants per hectare, and the wide row spacing, 76 centimeter, we saw maximized our biomass yield at Lahoma and Stillwater respectively. And as you can see here, the graph on the right just shows a correlation with increasing wet biomass that you increase your juice extracted in liters per hectare. For row spacing in 2009 as well as 2010, like I said, we had three locations for each site. In 2009, we saw a significant difference between the 20 and 76 centimeter row spacing all the way across the board, besides Haskell. And in 2009 in Haskell, they experienced a severely dry season, in which case we think the more wider row spacing helped kind of alleviate the moisture in the ground, which is why we think the 38 and 76 outdid the 20. But out of the 6 years, five of the six performed better at the 20 centimeter row spacing. For the plant density, the main thing we want to look at is the population interacted with the row spacing. Four of the 6 years are significant. This year in Stillwater, we had, for 2010, we had great emergence, almost 100%. It looked great. It's what every researcher wants to see. And then we had a severely dry season, and it almost, the plants had to compete with themselves. And in this case, it just didn't turn out the way we were hoping. Haskell, we said, all across the board, did not experience what we were hoping for. For 2010, Lahoma, for the plant population, we saw here, if you increase your plants, we saw a wet biomass increase. For the 20 centimeter, we saw a general increase. For plants per hectare, you increase your wet biomass. For the 76 centimeter row spacing, it was pretty consistent within the one area. It was like a little box, somewhere the same, and we found no real correlation to establish with it. For Chickasha for 2010, we saw the same correlation. It was a general increase with the 20 centimeter row spacing, again with the 76, very similar to Lahoma. For Stillwater, like I stated earlier, we had real good emergence in the beginning, and then we dried off. So the 20 centimeters still outperformed at a certain plants per hectare, but again, the 76 was consolidated within a certain area. A side point of interest we just wanted to look at was if you increase your stalk diameter, would a thicker stalk produce more juice? So here we have, by increasing your seeding density, we saw a general trend that led to a smaller stalk diameter size. So we think that, well, we know that by looking at the graph. By seeding a heavier population, you get a thinner stalk. We ran analysis on this. There is no correlation between juice extracted and, or no significant difference, I'm sorry, on juice extracted with the average stalk diameter. In summary, the 20 centimeter row spacing produced the greatest biomass and juice extraction. This was across the board besides the Haskell location in 2009. For the plant density objective, we saw that 20 centimeter recommendations are, we recommend planting at 175,000 to 250,000 seeds per hectare moving west to east across the state. And at the 76 centimeter recommendation, we recommend 100,000 to 150,000 seeds per hectare moving west to east across the state as well. You can just see here the two row spacings. This is the 70, this is the 20 at the high population, and this is 20 at a low population. Another point of interest is we're looking at light interception. We have pictures taken of a square meter over each plot, and we're going to run analysis on this to see how much green leaf area is within that square meter. And hopefully that will tell us if light interception played a big part in the producing the higher biomass. I'd like to thank the partial funding provided by the Oklahoma City Bioenergy Center.